colleagues. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and I'm back with another episode of Hanging with Your Favorite Optometrist. And today's guest, man, we go back. I'm talking about we go back. We were actually in optometry school together. We did a summer enrichment program together. We've been rocking with each other for a while. So today, I am super excited to hang out with my friend, my pal, Dr. Essence Johnson. How are you doing today, Dr. Johnson?
I am great. I am blessed. It is beautiful. I am just super excited to be here today, Dr. Glover.
Yeah, like I said before, I'm super excited because I remember like hey, when we were sitting down just, you know, studying, and you were actually a year ahead of me, so you actually helped me out with getting through optometry school as well. I remember you, myself, Jacoby Cleaver, Hong, you know, all of us just kicking it. Timothy Brown, shout out to Timothy. That was my big brother.
I know. We loved him.
We really had a great time, you know. But thank you dearly for hanging out with me today, Essence. Before we jump into learning more about your journey and learning more about all the amazing things that you have going on, I would love for you to just share, who is Dr. Essence Johnson, if you don't mind? Just giving us a little overview of where you went to school, where you're from, family, all of that stuff. We're going to be nosy today, so tell me a little bit more about yourself, if you don't mind.
Not a problem. I am Dr. Essence Johnson. Back when Daryl and them knew me, they know me kind of as a Texas girl, but a little secret about me is that I'm actually a California girl, born and raised. So I grew up in Moreno Valley, California. And then literally the day after I graduated from high school, I went to the Prairie View A&M University, and it was one of the best experiences of my life. A little secret about that school, I never applied to Prairie View, as a matter of fact. One day, the dean of the biology department gave me a call, and he said, hey, you know, you're accepted into our school, and I'm giving you a Fulbright scholarship. I have never even traveled outside of Texas at that point in my life, and it completely changed the trajectory. So I am so glad. Thank you, Dr. George Brown. You have done amazing things for me, and I am definitely a productive person from Prairie View A&M University. So it has been amazing. That has been the launching pad of my 20s and of my educational career. So from Prairie View, I went to the Pennsylvania College of Optometry. That is where I met our favorite optometrist, Dr. Glover. And like he said, we've done a lot together. And even our other friend, Jacoby Cleaver, we have been in all types of summer programs. I was in a summer program when I went to Prairie View. I was in PCI there. Me and Jacoby, we met in Texacop for the University of Houston College of Optometry. And then we met Daryl and the rest of the gang when we did the summer enrichment program at PCO, which is now Salus. That's how old we are, back at PCO. So it has been just an amazing, amazing adventure. And then from graduating into optometry school, I am now the doctor that you guys are all following and seeing today. So I went and got my residency at Omni High Atlanta. Hi, Dr. Jamian and Chelsea and Jason. Those are my fellow co-residents. I went on and became a fellow in the academy and one of the diplomats in the American Board of Optometry, which is now our board certifying program. And now I am here in the lovely state of Texas, practicing in Dallas as a community and correctional health optometrist for one of our county hospitals. Another shout out to Jacoby, 4 more years. That's what we keep saying for this loan forgiveness. So please, Trump, please, government, treat us well. We're really trying to be one of those products of this loan forgiveness. So please, America, be kind to us and your optometrists. But here I am in Dallas with my husband, Randall, and my two wonderful children, Ramona, who is 4, and baby Randall, who is 2. So they definitely put the mom in this momtometrist right now. Definitely just balancing loving my family and loving this profession.
Wow. I mean, you just have a hell of a story. I mean, just that little bit. Go ahead and write a book, Essence. I'll be the first one to purchase it because you've done so much. I mean, you know, the one thing that you didn't mention that I know you're very passionate about is also your sorority, you know, with having a family, with seeing patients, with doing some other things that we're going to touch on. You're very active in your sorority and helping out just all the younger generation underneath you as well. I mean, you do quite a bit, Essence.
I am, let me shout them out too. I am a proud member and a life member and a sustaining member of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. So hi, Sorors, I love y'all.
So, you know, you have an amazing background, and I know you are truly passionate about eye care. What I would like to do today is really dive a little deeper into your journey. I would really like to know, what is your mission as an optometrist? What is your mission as an eye care professional? Because, you know, a lot of us sometimes we just get stuck in doing the one or two all day, and we kind of forget the reason why we even jumped into optometry school, or why we became an ophthalmologist, or why we became an optician. So if you don't mind just sharing your mission of why you jumped into the eye care world, because I think that's something important that we all need to think about, because it will help us become a better eye care professional long term.
So I think, just going back, we all have like that defining moment of what brought us to eye care. Of course, I have the story, like many of us, in fourth grade, I started wearing glasses. So that was my true, you know, introduction to having an optometrist. But as an early age, believe it or not, I remember my dad has found some things that said I wanted to be a doctor. But I distinctly remember saying that I wanted to be the president of the United States. And that was before I even knew what being the president of the United States entailed. But I have been fortunate to be the vice president and presidents of many other organizations. So I think that that is a way that it has manifested for me. And I knew that when you wanted to be the president, that you should do something probably in law or something to get you out there. So I was kind of set on becoming a lawyer. But again, about things that kind of change the trajectory of your life, my dear, dear paternal grandmother, God rest her soul, she told me that I would go to hell for lying if I became a lawyer. That was enough for me to be like, I don't want to go to hell, Granny. Like, I don't want to go to hell. So that totally kind of swapped things for me. And I just think, you know, just how God always has a bigger purpose for you. It's like the moment she said that, it was like the next day there was a career fair at school. And lo and behold, there was an optometrist there. And not only any optometrist, a Black female optometrist. So what kind of unicorn rarity is that, even back in the 90s, to have someone who looks like you come to your school to talk about optometry? And that kind of just changed everything for me. I wanted to eat, breathe, and sleep everything optometry. Being in California, there is the Southern California College of Optometry. So I had a lot of opportunities to do like SAT prep. Raquel, she's probably listening. She knows we did so much like SAT prep and like other like just pre-optometry immersion activities with SCCO back then. Like, their dean of admissions was another Black woman. So I was just really motivated and inspired just seeing these women in eye care, seeing them as high level people, seeing them as the professionals and even the doctors that they were, that I was dead set. I was like, perfect. I am sold. I am becoming an optometrist. Like, that is what the plan was, and kind of set in motion. And now here we are a decade later. Like, I can't even believe it. 10 years ago, I graduated from optometry school. And here we are 10 years later, and we're in the year of 2020. And I am definitely everything eye pun, everything, you know, super corny. I have embodied this whole year of optometrist, year of vision with 2020. And I really took the time this year, when we're vision boarding and thinking of our resolutions, on, you know, what is that going to look like for me? You know, this is 10 years later, the year of 2020. To your point, like, what kind of optometrist do I want to be? What kind of optometrist do I want the world to see me as? You know, what other young people that just need to see that person that looks like them, to identify them, to change the trajectory of their life? And that has really always been my focus, but that has been my immediate focus now that I've gotten, you know, wifehood and motherhood out the way. I am just super excited to refocus on the profession of optometry, the state of the eye care industry, just the positioning of the Black community and the Black people in our field. And that has really been my mission all throughout, but especially this year, is to put that focus back on us, to put that focus on our profession. It is just a very interesting situation to be in 2020. And I get so amazed, but also just kind of take a pause on all of the firsts that Black people still have yet to achieve. It is just crazy that we're still experiencing, you know, the first Black president, or even in our field, there's so many first Black of anything on a board, or, you know, in the admissions office, on these government panels. So it is so inspiring. Congratulations. I celebrate all the Black people who are becoming the first. But it's also encouraging, empowering to like people like you and me, that there is still opportunities for us to be the first. And I think that's what we're trying to do now, or not trying to do, that we are doing now. Yeah. We are definitely changing the game. We are definitely making more opportunities for ourselves and for the people that come after us, and just really taking advantage of the necessity of the times. And so that is what I'm excited for, to be the change that I want to see, and to just basically have other people see us, you know, as the Black professionals that they are, and be inspired to do anything.
You know, Essence, I love that. I love your mission. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me that you give me that answer, because I know you. But, you know, in order to even accomplish that mission, or really have traction of that mission, there's one key thing that needs to take place, and that's branding. I think, you know, whether you're Black, brown, purple, green, yellow, whatever it may be, if you want to make a change, you have to be able to brand yourself as that change. You have to be able to brand yourself so people can seek you and know that you're the go-to to make whatever it is that you're trying to make happen take place. And you have done a great job with that. I mean, we have a comment right here, Obi Malopi from South Africa, saying that this is awesome and that you're absolutely amazing. And it's the reason why he's saying that is because he understands your brand. He gets you. So I would love to really just dive deep into, you know, why it's important to brand yourself on a personal level, and how that can impact more of a global effect, whether it's you working for a company, a private practice, but why branding is so important and how it's actually bigger than you when you actually really jump into branding.
I think one of our greatest blessings and curses is social media. And when we were back in school as the millennial generation, you know, social media was something new to us. You know, we just now started getting into even cell phones. Most of us didn't get our first cell phones until we were in college. Nowadays, my daughter is 4, my son is 2. They already have their first cell phone. So it is a totally different, you know, just world. And I was truly inspired about a lot from a lot of our young ODs out there. So many of them are already documenting like their optometry and their pre-optometry journeys using social media. So many of them already have a catchy, you know, eye pun type of name, and they're making the way. And there are times I look and I'm just like, how come we didn't do that? You know, but I gotta remember, it's the generation, it's the time, you know? So I think some of it is you have to change and adapt with the time. Right. I know that it is very difficult even for my generation. So I know it's even harder for the generations that came before us to really understand how important it is to leverage technology for your benefit. So definitely last fall, I decided, because I was like many people, and we grew up in a generation where we were kind of taught that social media and the internet and emails were like bad. That's how you get like caught in stranger danger and all that kind of stuff. And now it is the way that you get caught in a good way, you know? And so I definitely took kind of that inspiration from our younger generation, from you yourself. Daryl, you are like amazing at what you do in the social media world and the optometry world, and branding myself outside of just myself. Like, we all had a personal Facebook page and an Instagram page that was more for family. It was private. So I really took that chance last fall with House of Optometrista and made a public page where I could be unapologetically and authentically me, and did it with the intention to be visible for the world to see and to follow my journey, and to document those things. Because I definitely think social media is a powerful tool, and it can be a positive tool. And I definitely love using it to help give myself like reminders of what I've done and what I said I was going to do. It is definitely my live action vision board, my live action diary. If there's something that I think is cool, ooh, I post it in my story, or, you know, make it up my own meme. And then when I'm thinking back on it, it's nice to scroll through and be like, oh, you know, it seemed like yesterday, but that was last year that happened. So I'm definitely taking a little bit of a note from the younger generation and getting out there. But even like we've learned talking to people in the industry and people in HR, the way that you brand yourself is so important. Yeah. I think that so many people think branding is limited to business, but what is the better business to invest in than yourself? Like Jay-Z says, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman. And that is definitely what I am. I'm a businesswoman and I need it to be branded and marketed and put out there, because there are a lot of opportunities that we are getting because of social media. And it doesn't matter how many emails we send or how many phone calls, what do they always tell us? We went and we followed you on social media.
Yep.
We are on your LinkedIn page. We are following all of your pages that you manage and maintain. So it definitely goes back to making sure that you're always, you know, presenting yourself in the best light, and that what you put out there is what you want people to see, because some people have already made opinions and some people have already fallen in love with you before they even met you because of that social media page. So I am very appreciative. Another plug for my sorority, to my great sorors who helped me with my branding and my marketing and all those great pictures that you see, and coming up with the moniker of the poptometrist, since someone like Daryl is the favorite optometrist. I feel like we all need our little tagline. So I want to be more popular. I love pop culture. I love a pop of color. So that is the poptometrist. But branding is very, very important. And I think that that has helped, you know, with our visibility and just with people getting to know you.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you can look at branding from the business to business aspect, right? But you can also look at it from the business to patient aspect. I mean, now when patients are looking up online whether or not they want to go to a certain doctor, they actually look at their social media first. At least the millennials doing, there's a high percentage of them actually doing that. Millennials are now looking online at reviews before they even make a commitment to a doctor. So your online presence is huge. You really have to make sure that you understand your brand. That way, when your patients come in, they get your brand. You don't want to have one presence online and then the patient comes in and they get something completely different when they meet you, because that's going to be confusing and that's not going to go far as time goes by. But you're right, branding is key. And the one thing that I know working with you, especially with a group that is known as Black Eye Care Perspective, you have really been the one behind our brand to take it to the next level. So I would love for you just to share in regards to what Black Eye Care Perspective is, because you are actually the chief visionary officer of Black Eye Care Perspective. And as mentioned before, you have taken our branding from here all the way up there, and you've done a hell of a job. So if you don't mind just moving into this next segment here, Black Eye Care Perspective, what is it? How'd you get involved with it? And I would love to touch on some initiatives here first, but if you don't mind just giving an overview of what Black Eye Care Perspective is, so those that may be unfamiliar with it can have a better understanding.
You're definitely too kind. You and Adam are extremely too kind. Definitely a godsend. As everyone knows or have heard, I have known Daryl for a long time. I have posted a picture today. You saw our 20-something year old selves on there, Daryl. I have a lot of dirt on us. But we have known each other for so long. And it is one of those things where I don't believe in getting envious, but emulating. Like, it has been amazing to see your journey, to see you grow and blossom, and to see all of those things that you have your hands in. You are internationally known and renowned, and it's amazing. You have left so many people in the States that are so sad when you leave us abroad. But you're doing great things, you know, just in the office and outside, and that is truly inspirational. And a lot of just my involvement preliminary in Black Eye Care Perspective is just being a fan and an admirer of yours. And also talking to our mutual friend, Jacoby, and being like, what is it that Daryl is doing? Like, we graduated from the same school around the same time. So it's like, what is it that he's doing that we're not doing? So that is definitely where the interest kind of sparked. It's like, we know Daryl. Like, we know him. How come? We don't know this part of him. So it was definitely a bit of curiosity to just catch up with you and to see what you've been doing over this last decade. And then a big thing that has been going on kind of in the eye care world is just this talk of, you know, more of optometry schools and the realization that there isn't an optometry school at the HBCU level. So there's been a lot of talk about that. And one day Adam had posted something, and that is a personal kind of mission of mine. It's just this HBCU push. And so I reached out to Adam. And, you know, where some people you kind of reach out and you may not hear back. Adam, I tell you, that boy, the A in Adam stands for action.
And accelerate.
Yes.
I'm here and Adam's like
accelerate and action. That guy, Adam, we love you. You know, he is just amazing. He even had told me, like, I am doing something else. I won't be able to get back to you. There was a break, and I really feel like it's one of those but God moments. He called me back, and I swear it was like I have known him forever.
Yeah.
And where we were just having a little conversation, just kind of sharing each other's perspectives and views and getting to know each other, it was like we birthed a whole child by the end of our conversation. And he was like, okay, good. You know, now you have custody of this baby.
Right.
I'll see you next weekend. And I was just like, I don't even know what happened. But when like great minds get together, great things happen.
Absolutely.
And so absolutely, where I am all for the Black Eye Care mission and just perspective of getting the Black Eye Care community together, getting us more representation in our industry and the different areas of our field, whether it's as optometrists, as faculty, as board members, as eye care designers and distributors. That is our whole 13% initiative. And like someone else had told me, we're just asking for 13%. You know, it seems like a big ask for us, but I'm realizing that it's the bare minimum. We just want people to uphold to. So it has been an amazing journey since that initial phone call with Adam about what can we do as the future in changing the game. We have definitely decided that we don't want to play the game. We want to change the game. And the one thing that Adam had told me that rings to me all the time, and I was just like, oh, he was like, Essence, I do not fail. Like, I do not fail. So whatever we do, it's going to be successful. And I just hung on all those words because it's not an option for us as individuals. It's not an option for our profession. It's not an option for our community. So it has been amazing just truly living your purpose on purpose and getting all of those ideas that are in our heads just out with other people who understand and see it from that way. And like we said, just doing accelerated action for accelerated change. So that is what we've been doing with Black Eye Care Perspective. Some people call it a shotgun approach, but we have been putting it out there. Yeah. We want to take action. We also want to hold people accountable as we spread awareness of what is going on in our profession and what is going on in our community and how we can now marry those two things together to help increase our visibility and also increase the volume of Black students in the profession and in the industry by also improving the quality and the quantity of those students.
Yeah, no, I love it, Essence. And for those that may be unfamiliar about the 13% promise, you can actually hit up Black Eye Care Perspective. And I'm just going to read these straight off the website. I mean, we have a 2025 goal to hit 13% in different areas within our industry. And the first one is 13% of students in optometry. We want them to be identified as African-Americans. We need to see that number go up. Right now, it's at 3%, which is very low. 13% of company speaker bureaus need to identify as African-American. 13% of marketing budget spent on African-Americans need to take place. 13% of executive level positions filled by African-Americans we want to see. 13% of frame lines designed for and by African-Americans need to take place. And 13% of the faculty at colleges need to identify as African-Americans. And then also we need to see 13% of donations going towards African-American led organizations. And you guys may ask, you know, where did this 13% actually come from? And that 13% came from just reflecting what the census is in the United States. As Dr. Johnson had mentioned, this is just the bare minimum. This is just exactly what we're asking to have with the census. We just want to reflect that. We're not asking for anything anymore or less. We just want to reflect the exact reflection of what the United States is. So make sure you guys go to Black Eye Care Perspective and check out the 13% promise. Dr. Johnson, something that I love for you to touch on next and something that I know is really your baby is really Impact HBCU. And for those that may be unfamiliar of what Impact HBCU is, Dr. Essence is going to break it down. But HBCU stands for Historic Black College University, because I know not everyone may know what that actually stands for. But if you could actually break down this initiative, because this is a game changer. With this initiative, there's a lot of great companies that we're working with to make this change. So if you don't mind just giving a good overview of that, Dr. Johnson.
So our Impact HBCU initiative is our signature recruiting event. And when we talk about recruitment, we're recruiting Black students to apply into optometry school. So the reason why we had chose to kind of tighten in our net on HBCUs is because that they produce about 40% of optometrists and a good percentage of just doctors in general. So we definitely wanted to go down to the source where we can get a higher volume of Black students to inspire and to spark their interest and to influence them to pursue a career in optometry. So on Tuesday, October 6th, we will be doing a virtual meeting of all of the Black students everywhere. So while we are focusing on HBCUs, if you're a Black student at any institution, whether it be high school, even middle school and elementary school, but definitely on the collegiate level, we would love for you to tune in. During this event, we are going to focus on basically diversity in eye care. Diversity as far as the need for more of it. I think one of the greatest thing that even Adam had pointed out in our Vision Monday feature was that we are doing a great job in all different professions of increasing that underrepresented minority. But underrepresented minority is a very big bucket for all minorities. So that is Asian, that is Indian, that's Hispanic, that's Black. That's a combination of any of those ethnicities. But what we have even realized in our research is that while the other underrepresented minorities are increasing, the percentage of Black people in the industry, specifically in optometry school, has flatlined. And a lot of that is that our pipeline is starting to dry up. And so we definitely want to recreate that pipeline so that we're getting more students into the field. I know that when each of us had started optometry school over a decade ago, I feel like our pipeline was strong. Yeah. We started, like Daryl said, he's in the class beneath me. It was just an ongoing just influx of students. And a lot of that was because of the word of mouth, because of the excitement and inspiration that we had, because of a lot of the opportunities that were created for us that was focused on recruiting. And sadly, a lot of those big recruiting and enrichment opportunities are no longer, whether it's because grants have dried up, or membership and leadership has changed. So we want to bring back those opportunities and resources to students like us, to all of our 21-year-old selves out there. We want to bring these opportunities back to you. So our big push and our big kickoff is Impact HBCU on Tuesday, October 6th. Keep following us, RSVP, if you are an HBCU. We already have schools like Prairie View and Dillard and Xavier and all of those signing on. So, hey, HBCUs, we're talking to you. Please go to our Black Eye Care Perspective page, our Black Eye Care Perspective Pre-Optometry Club page. There's forms and information on there. We would love for you to save the date for us. Incentivize your students for coming. Give them some extra credit during this pandemic. You know, it's hard on everyone. Host a viewing party. We just want to increase that awareness of our profession. We're going to highlight some phenomenal optometrists in our field, and they're going to share their journeys and this their diverse practice base. And we're also going to have admissions on board so that they can tell you directly what you need to do to become one of us and a Black doctor in the optometry field. And as you join our pre-optometry club, that is where we'll really get down into the branding aspect. I know a lot of people see our application or our membership profile and they're like, I need a what? You need a resume, a headshot, and a bio. That is so important to us. If you don't have it, upload a place filler and we will help make sure that you have that resume, your headshot, and bio. Because like we were talking about branding and social media, those three things are your key to many opportunities. So that is why, that is what our foundation is for our club and what we're asking people to bring, because we are creating opportunities for you guys. And in order to take advantage of those opportunities, they want to see your face. They want to learn about you through your words, and they definitely want to review your history academically and professionally. So we're really just super excited for the event, super excited with all of these connections that we are making, and definitely starting off this pipeline with everyone joining the Pre-Optometry Club. We will have our first meeting this Thursday on the 13th. So definitely go to our page and fill out a membership profile so that you can get an email for that exclusive link. We have amazing contact. Just content, amazing sponsors and networks. You definitely don't want to miss out on these opportunities that we're creating for you.
And Essence, who are some of the sponsors and people that are actually supporting the Impact HBCU? I think that's important to really highlight the leaders in our industry that are really taking it seriously and putting themselves out there. Because we need more leaders like this in the eye care industry to help support this great initiative that's taking place.
We have some amazing relationships and opportunities with Warby Parker, with My Eye Doctor, and with National Vision, which many of you guys may know as America's Best. I know that that is a very popular choice over here in the Dallas area. So we thank you guys. We just love the excitement. We love the support, the encouragement, the empowerment. We just love just how a lot of these companies, just out of the need and the response of what's going on in the world, out of our ask and our push from ourselves, have completely just redefined their own business structure. And working towards upholding the 13%, but also working towards upholding our profession and highlighting the Black community and those contributions that they have within their own organization. So it has been very exciting conversations, and there's just so much more in store that we would just love to share with you all.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I wanted to circle back on that 13% promise. I wanted to give a special thank you and a special shout out to Dr. Al Purcell over at the New England College of Optometry, because he has made that commitment. And the thing that I love about the commitment that he made is that he made it publicly. And I hope that a lot of the other presidents or deans or whoever may be at the different institutions follows his lead, because, you know, there are Black students at your school and they are looking at their organization that they represent, and they are looking for their school to step up. So I really look forward to seeing some of these other schools step up to the plate and really make something happen, because again, our goal is to hit 13%. Our goal is to hit this by 2025, and we can all make it happen, but we all got to work together. And again, special shout out to my home, my base, My Eye Doctor for making waves and making that commitment. It's something you guys should know. I didn't even contact My Eye Doctor. This is something that these CEOs of these big companies came together and had conversation. Special shout out to also all of the CEOs of the organizations, because, you know, without them, this initiative would not be as impactful. So we greatly appreciate everything that you guys have done. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing this just blossom. This is going to be the first year, but this is going to be one of many years. And I'm super excited, Essence. And I thank you for really having a vision, being the chief visionary officer over at Black Eye Care Perspective, working on the branding. You know, there's times where I'm up at like 4 a.m. and I'm texting Essence and she's actually responding. And I'm like, hold on, don't you have a husband and 2 kids? Don't get me in trouble. Don't have your husband calling me talking some crazy mess simply because he responded early. I'm thinking you're sleeping and you're not going to get it until you wake up. But I greatly appreciate everything that you have done, Essence.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I think we would be remiss if we don't also shout out the Association of the Schools and Colleges of Optometry and Dr. Flanagan. We appreciate just all of the love and support and just helping us bring our vision to fruition and really bringing those resources to the students.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, before we leave, Essence, I wanted to circle back on something that you touched on. 20 years ago, which is, I mean, it's not quite your 21st, not quite when you were 21 years old, but I would love to ask you, what advice would you give your 21-year-old self? Because I know myself, tons of different advice. You know, that famous saying, hindsight is 20/20 is really the truth. But what advice would you give yourself when you were 21 years old if you could have that conversation today?
I mean, the funny thing is I have that conversation all the time. because I'm crazy or anything like that, but I have definitely been having that conversation with my own internal 21-year-old self, but I've also realized I have so many external 21-year-old selves, and I love each and every one of you ladies. I mean, one of my 21-year-old selves is right now on the campus of the medical school in Lubbock, Texas. She just sent me a gorgeous picture. So I am just so proud of all of my 21-year-old selves and all of the different phases of education that you guys are in and the role that I've even gotten to play in that for you. So I think what all of my 21-year-old selves need to hear is know that you guys are amazing. You guys are amazing women. And I think sometimes you may feel that certain opportunities are passing you by, but the reality is that they're not passing you by. My 21-year-old self, you will never encounter a closed door. What you will encounter, though, is a locked door, and it is up to you to find that key or to use your internal key to unlock that door. And you need to understand that if a door does not unlock for you, that means that it just simply wasn't for you. It has nothing to do about if you weren't qualified or that, you know, they didn't like you or anything like that. You're amazing, girl. You just need to wait for that door that you can unlock. Or in some cases, that opportunity physically hasn't even been created yet for you. I think at my own just 36-year-old self, there were times recently where I've applied for things and I did not get them. And my great group of sister friends always remind me, like, Essence, you're so busy, though. Like, would you have had time for that opportunity? Or, like, I mean, we know, like, but really, and there are times sometimes I do get down a little bit. But then I think if I would have taken what was behind door number one, I would have missed what was behind door number two. And it is just amazing for this opportunity that I have with Black Eye Care Perspective, with the Chief Visionary Officer, and just being able to share this platform with Daryl and Adam. So just remember, 21-year-old selves, what is behind door number two is often sweeter than what's behind door number one. And know that you are the key to unlock your door, and the door that is for you is for you. Can't nobody else take that opportunity away from you.
I know that's right. Well, Essence, thank you really for sharing some of that Black girl magic. It's always great to hear your words of wisdom and always to see your passion because, I mean, it speaks for itself. I mean, you have really set out on a mission to really change the eye care industry. You have really set out on a mission to make sure that you pay it forward. And you have really set out on a mission to really increase the Black representation in eye care and meet that 13% and be able to see more Black leadership or more Black leadership positions to make sure that these companies really look at their values and make sure they align with inclusivity and equity. And I just love what you're doing, and I'm so happy that you're a part of the team with Black Eye Care Perspective. For those that may want to speak to you on a one-on-one basis and learn a little bit more about you, what's the best contact information for folks to reach out to you, Dr. Johnson?
I think you're going to share it with them. Definitely connect with me through my personal webpage. We work so hard to make it so beautiful, so please go and check out my page. I'm documenting our journey. I am sharing our articles and our press releases. So definitely go to my webpage to find out how to connect with me personally. But I am also looking for more connections on LinkedIn. So you guys can go to LinkedIn, Dr. Essence Johnson. Definitely connect with me, follow, like, and share my House of _ Optometrista page. I love more friends and followers on there as well. You can also see me as a reoccurring guest on the Missing X Middle podcast. So definitely check that out at missingxmiddle.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Dr. Johnson. I greatly enjoyed hanging out with you. It's always great to see a big smile and get some of that energy that you always put out there. Thank you greatly for everything that you've done for this eye care industry. You guys, it's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Thank you again for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you guys next week. Remember, make a pledge, make the promise, 13% promise. You guys got to do that. Make sure you reach out. Ask how you can be involved with Impact HBCU. It's not just a Black thing. It could be anyone that could be participate in this. So we want everyone in the eye care industry to help out, because without you guys, this will not take place. But with you, we can really change the game, and we can change the industry. And always keep in mind, a more diverse team will always outperform a non-diverse team. So always keep that in mind. Let's make optometry great. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. You guys have a great one. Peace.